My name is Alan Morse, and we are going to, again, another teaching. We're going to be dealing with 1 Timothy, and we are in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and we're in lesson number 4. This is our fourth lesson that we have in 1 Timothy, and we're in chapter 4, so open up your Bibles and get in to the Bible. You need to be following me verse by verse with this and word by word so that you can understand these words. These are tremendously important. And I think God will bless you. And as we study these scriptures, He sure has me. So get your pencils and your papers out. And get your Bible out. Open it up to 1 Timothy and turn to chapter 4. And we're going to be starting with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." It's a capital S here. That means the Holy Spirit is speaking expressly. "That in the latter times," that's the day, "some shall depart from the faith." What's the faith? When Paul talks about faith, we talked about that before. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the gospel. "Will depart from the gospel, giving heed to" what? "Seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." Doctrines of devil. You see, anybody that teaches anything other than the gospel for salvation has been deceived by Satan. And it's the doctrine of the devil. Because salvation is only through the gospel for the body of Christ. We're not saved because we believe in Jesus. We're saved because we believe the gospel. We believe the gospel. That's where Paul pointed to the gospel. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe." You see, people can believe in Jesus, but it doesn't necessarily do they believe the gospel. You see, the Muslim people believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the gospel, that Christ died for their sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. We've got a group of people now coming out of these seminaries all over this world, and they don't even believe that Jesus died. They say, "Well, no, He didn't die. He just was in a coma, and He came out of a coma." Well, that's heresy. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die to pay the sin debts for you and me. Because if He hadn't died to pay for our sin, we're still in our sin and we have no hope whatsoever. You see? They believe in Jesus, but they don't believe the gospel. But you see, when you believe the gospel, you automatically believe in Jesus. You automatically believe that He's your Savior. But He doesn't become your Savior until you believe the gospel. And Jesus is the one who gave us the gospel. He told Paul. Paul says, "I didn't get this gospel from man. I was taught it by man. I got it from the risen Savior, Jesus Christ." And we were supposed to obey Jesus when He tells us to believe the gospel. Paul says if anybody doesn't believe the gospel, he's accursed. If anybody does teach any other gospel than what he preached, he said, let them be accursed. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. That's how important the gospel is. But you see, the churches of the day don't preach the gospel. And the reason why is, we see that it says, like we start out off in verse 1, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," or the gospel, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Who was it? We talked about that our last time. But that Satan put his ministers of righteousness into the churches. The churches today, all the major denominations that are churches, are flooded with these people. And what were they doing? They're perverting the gospel. They're adding to it. And they did away with it. They point us to believing in Jesus. But that's not the gospel. Paul said in Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15, he said, "We knew Christ in the flesh." but we know him no more. You see, we're not involved in Christ's earthly ministry or his teachings whatsoever. You see, we're dealing with the risen Savior now. The risen Savior is what came and started the new church. They totally set aside Jesus' ministry, and that was Judaism, see. We're not involved in Judaism, but the churches today are ran by the ministers of righteousness who are directly from Satan himself. We saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. They're ministers of Satan, and they're pointing us to Christ's earthly ministry for salvation, not to the gospel. The gospel was given to the body of Christ, and that's the called out group of people, which are mainly Gentiles. See, the Jews have totally turned their back on Christ. They killed him. Not only did they kill Jesus, but they tried to kill everybody that believed in Jesus. Paul, Peter, James, and Paul preached their hearts out that Jesus was the Messiah. See, preached their hearts out. And all the time, the Jews were rounding all the people that believed in Peter and James and Paul and throwing them in prisons, and they were voted on them. Saul of Tarsus voted on them to have them killed. You see. And so when Jesus finally, about 8 years after Pentecost, when they stoned Stephen, he said, I've had enough. And he set aside the Jewish religion totally and came out and started a whole new ball of wax, totally different. It had nothing to do with Judaism, nothing to do with Christ's earthly ministry. This was the body of Christ. Jesus was the head of it, and our salvation was to not do nothing more than believe the gospel, and he would take it from there. He would fill you with the Holy Spirit, and Christ would live in you and guide and direct you the rest of your life. And he would do everything. And this religion that we have now is not a religion. This is a faith. Religions are demonic. All religions are demonic because they're adding something, trying to add things, works, for salvation. We have no works. All we do is believe the gospel, and Christ takes it from there. And these doctrines of devils have infiltrated the churches, every one of the churches, every one of them, and they have things we have to do. And what did Paul say? He told them, if you add anything, in Galatians chapter 1, if you add anything to the gospel, and they were talking, the Jews were coming in and telling them they got to be circumcised, they got to be keep the law. If you add anything, Christ has no benefit for you. See, the gospel of grace means exactly what it means. Christ did it all. We do nothing. We look to him, only to him. And we do nothing for our salvation. Only believe the gospel. Look what it says in verse 2. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, these people don't even have a clue what they're saying. I didn't have a clue my whole life. I had no idea that my salvation was based on the gospel. Did I believe that Christ died for my sins and he was buried and he rose from it? Yes, I did. But not for my salvation. I was always told my salvation was believing in Jesus, taking Jesus as my Savior. But that's not salvation. Paul points only to the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. It didn't say believe and do anything. It just said believe. And that's how the salvation is for the body of Christ today. We believe the gospel. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. And he walks with you the rest of your life. He talks through you and he works through you. You are a part of him. Just like when Jesus walked on this earth in John 14. He said, Jesus, God is in me and I am in God. We are the same. Jesus is in us, you see. And he walks with us. He speaks through us. He works through us. He does it all. He asks nothing of us except to believe the gospel. And he takes it from there. It's just fantastic what he's done. But look what the world has done. They have totally turned their back on the gospel. And that's all Paul preached. He preached to every creature under heaven this gospel. And we, our churches today do not preach it at all. I spent 70 years in churches and never heard the gospel preached for my salvation. Not once. Not once. And so you get what had happened? They started religion. That's the same thing that Judaism is, a religion of works. And it didn't work. It failed 100%. And now they want us to do it again. They want us to have a religion. Religion is working for our salvation. Every church you go to, they've got something you need to do. And look, and things that you're supposed to do. Look what it says in verse 3. It says, these churches today, he's looking in the future, the Holy Spirit is looking in the future. He said, they'll be forbidding you to marry and to command to abstain from meats and from God that hath created to receive, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What's know the truth? What's the truth? The gospel. It's the gospel, see. We that know the truth, we can eat whatever we want, and as long as we are thankful for it, it's okay, see. There's no such thing as can't have certain meats on certain days. That is religion, and we're not involved in religion. You see, we're involved in walking with God. How powerful is Satan? I couldn't believe it. I never could understand. How could he be? Does he truly run this country? Does he truly run the world? Well, turn back in your Bibles to Matthew. Turn back into your Bibles in Matthew. Mark where you're at right now, but turn your back to Matthew. And look what it talks about. In Matthew chapter 4, and look at verses 8. This is how the devil has taken over our country and our world and every place. Look what it says. Again, verse 8. Again, the devil taking him up, Jesus Christ, up into an exceeding high mountain, and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. They could see, I don't know if they were in a mountain or not, but it was just a high place. They were probably up in the stratosphere. They could see the whole world, see. And they could see, and he said, he took him up to a high place and show him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is Satan showing Jesus. And he said unto him, all these I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Did he have them to give? Yes, he showed it to him. He had, ever since Adam, Satan has taken over this whole world. Ever since Adam. And then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. But it showed, he has all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he's not going to turn them loose. And he was going to, and the biggest thing that was a thorn of his side was he didn't want anybody to go to heaven. And so what did he do? He joined the churches. He joined the churches. And he got his people in the churches, and he pointed the people against, away from the gospel. And he pointed them directly to religion, directly to Jesus' teaching. That's Judaism. And it has nothing to do with the church whatsoever. Whatsoever. We're not involved in any works in the church. Judaism is nothing but works. They had over 700 laws and regulations that they were trying to get these people to give them a closer walk with God, but it didn't work. And when they finally totally killed their Messiah, Jesus Christ, and they killing everybody that believed in him, Jesus set them aside. In Romans chapter 11, he talks about it. Set them aside until when? Until this church is filled. The body of Christ. And the body of Christ was the body. It's the only place that's talked about the body of Christ is in Paul's writings. Peter, James, and John knew nothing of the body of Christ. This body of Christ is a group of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as they believe the gospel. And that means Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and Christ living in you, and that don't make any difference what your situation. When you believe the gospel, when God turns in your life, He will change everything. You'll become a whole new creation. All things will pass away, and everything will become new. And that's what happens when you believe the gospel. So what we're seeing here now is what's happening today. We're in the latter days, and we're in the times when the gospel is not being taught. There are very few churches in this country that teach the gospel. Very few. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. So let's go back. We're to verse 4. It says, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it to be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." In other words, if somebody tells you, and in a religion situation, you have to refrain from eating this meat, or refrain from eating this food, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. He just told you everything is okay, as long as it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See? He's just opposite what the churches have done today in many cases. In many cases. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister." So he's writing to Timothy, and he's telling him to put these things in remembrance. Let people understand how important this gospel is. How important it is, and that we don't get mixed up in religion. We don't add things to the gospel. You see, and that's what Satan has done. He's added all kinds of things. And it has nothing to do with the gospel, see. And there's no salvation unless you believe the gospel for your salvation. Then you'll be received the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 9, he says, if you don't have the Spirit, and you only get it by believing the gospel, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. You're none of His. Think about that. Think about that. Mark where you're at right now, and I want to turn back to Corinthians, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'd like you to do this, every one of you, to do this. Some of you may have heard me say this before, but this is important. He says, and it's not me speaking. This is God speaking through me, because I am telling you what the book says. And I'm reading it to you. What does it say? Examine yourself. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. Mark this and remember this. Now I want you to take this examination. It says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Is Jesus Christ living in you? If He's not, you're not saved. You're lost. And you don't get the Holy Spirit by believing in Jesus. You don't get the Holy Spirit by taking Jesus as your Savior. You only get the Holy Spirit by believing the gospel. That's why I gotta show you that. I've seen it to you many times, but I'll never quit showing it to you. What I said, I got to prove it. Verse 13, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13. It says, in whom, now he's writing this letter to Ephesians. The Ephesians are on in the, right on the GNC, on the Turkey Peninsula, the furthest west end of Turkey. And it's a Gentile city. A Gentile church. It says, in whom you also trusted after you heard what? The word of truth. What's the word of truth? Look what it says. The gospel. The gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation. It's your salvation. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Gentiles. He's not talking about Jews. He's talking about Gentiles. This is the gospel of your salvation, you Ephesians people. They're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. It's the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. After you believed what? This gospel of your salvation, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Only way you get the Spirit, when he said, is Christ living in you? That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Christ, and God, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, are all one. And when one lives in you, all of them. Christ lives in you. Is Christ living in you? If he's not, you're discredited. And the only way you get it is by what? Believing the gospel of your salvation, the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, is plain in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. A fifth grader could understand it. Just as plain and simple. That's what the scripture says. But look what it says. What is this Holy Spirit? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It's the earnest of our inheritance. What's the inheritance? Our huge inheritance in heaven when we believe the gospel and when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we automatically, you are saved and you cannot lose your salvation because you believe the gospel. And guess what? You have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. It's the down payment for it, you might say. Until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who is the purchased? We are. God purchased us on that cross. He paid for our sins. See, we're the purchased possession. And we are sealed until the our redemption. What's our redemption? It's when either Jesus comes back and redeems us at the rapture, or he takes us home at death. Until we are redeemed. We are purchased until then. We are redeemed until then, until we were redeemed by God, taken home, and it says, unto the praise of his glory. See? His glory. Was I ever taught this ever in my life, in 70 years in church? No, not once. I had to hear it from a man who was a faithful person who taught the gospel. And I heard that and I just couldn't believe. How could I miss that? How could I have missed that? So that's how important the Holy Spirit is. You have to have the Spirit in order to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is believe the gospel. And then God does it. See, we're baptized. We're sealed, whatever you want to call it. But God does it. We don't do it. That's why baptism isn't in, water baptism has nothing to do with the body of Christ. Because that's a work. And we're dealing with the grace of God, see. And grace means unmerited favor. There's nothing that we can do for our salvation. Nothing. It's what he does. And he does it himself. And he doesn't baptize you or seal you with the Holy Spirit until you believe the gospel. Until you believe the gospel. Praise God for his word. Praise God that he woke us up in time. And I hope it woke you up in time also. So let's look at verses 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou should be a good minister. See? And that's what I'm trying to do here. Put you in remembrance of how important it is to believe the gospel. And to minister of Jesus, nourishing up in the words of the faith. What's the faith when Paul talks about faith? It's the gospel. It's the only thing we have for salvation. It's the only thing that counts in this whole world is to believing that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. Without believing that, we're lost and will be lost for eternity. And there's no faith in anything else that's more important than the gospel. And of the good doctrine, what's the doctrine? We just saw that in 1 Timothy 1, verses 10, 9 and 10. When he talked about doctrine, he also was talking about the gospel. Unto thou hast attained. Verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. How can we have godliness? How can we be godly? That's when Christ lives in you. You see, no man can have godliness until they believe the gospel and are sealed with the Holy Spirit and filled with God living in you. See, God is living in you. And that's the only way that we can become godly. It's because God is doing it. Not nothing that we do. It's what God does. And He just changes your whole idea of life when God comes into it. Everything else is just not important. Only God's important in your life. And you become godliness. It says, for bodily exercise profit little. But godliness, see, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. How can that happen? How can it be your godliness for now and to come? That's because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can be saved is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit is proof of salvation. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you never believe the gospel. You see, it's never happened. And you won't get the Holy Spirit. You can't get it by praying for it. You can't be getting it from repenting. You can't be confessing your sins. You can't get the Holy Spirit only by believing the gospel. We just read that in Ephesians 1:13. As soon as you believe, God gives it to you, and He doesn't give it to anybody who doesn't believe the gospel. Heaven isn't going to be only one place in heaven. There's only one heaven, and that heaven is the only thing that we're going to have in common up there is we all believe the gospel. And what does it mean? We're looking to what Jesus did. We're looking to what He did for us, not what we did. There's no I in heaven. No I whatsoever. I did nothing. Jesus did it all. That's the gospel of grace that we preach. Jesus did everything, and all He asked us to do is to believe it. Verse 9, it says, this is a faithful saying and a worthy to all acceptation. Wow, this time has gone by fast. We're going to have to stop here. We're going to have to stop here. Lord, thank You so much for this time that we've had to teach this gospel to these people. And I pray that they would hear it and understand it, and it would become a way of life in their life, and they would truly come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.